after the crucifixion, after the empty tomb, after the first three appearances of Jesus, first his appearance to Mary at the empty tomb, then his appearance to the rest of the disciples, minus Thomas, behind closed doors, then his appearance to Thomas as well, after Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, after he does, quote, many other signs in the presence of his disciples, after all of that, all of which is recorded in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, then Jesus shows up again. That's exactly what it says at the beginning of chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. After the resurrection, after showing up and showing up and showing up again, he shows up on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, what we sometimes call the Sea of Galilee. He shows up just after daybreak. Jesus shows up on the shore, but the disciples are in a boat because the disciples have been fishing. Not with much success, mind you, but they've been out on the water fishing. There's nothing to suggest that they've been waiting for him to show up again. They haven't been holding a planning meeting. They haven't been debating about what all this showing up means. They haven't been asking what's next. They haven't been writing down a record of everything that's happened. They haven't been holding a series of post-resurrection parties. They haven't been running around sharing the good news. Instead, when he shows up again, they're fishing. Why? Doesn't exactly tell us why, but we do know this much. It's what Peter had decided to do that night, and the others had offered to come along. We know that much, and we also know this, that fishing is what Peter and several of the other disciples did back before Jesus called them to be disciples. And of all the things they could have been doing that night, of all the looking ahead, wondering what's next things they could have been doing, don't you think it's interesting that they had gone fishing? Because back when Jesus called them to be disciples in the first place, they had left their nets and followed him. And if we use the gospel stories as our information guide, it would appear that they hadn't been fishing since. They hadn't been fishermen since. They gave that up to become disciples, to become followers of Jesus. And while they were following Jesus around in his ministry, they went all kinds of places and did all kinds of things. They went to the wedding at Cana. They went to the temple in Jerusalem and up to Galilee and over to Samaria. They met government officials and beggars and individuals who were sick or crippled. They saw a miracle where thousands of people, hungry people, were fed. They saw Jesus walk on water. They witnessed him confronting religious authorities, teaching about the kingdom of God, forgiving people, healing people, crying with his friends, washing people's feet, their feet. They went along with him all that way. They did the disciple thing. They followed him. And then, well, at the time of the crucifixion, even leading up to it, they had kind of faded away. But it wasn't to go fishing. It was to go into hiding. But then, after Easter morning came, surely something changed again. Surely they had forward momentum again. Jesus appeared to them again. He showed up again and again. But through all of that, they hadn't fit in any fishing, because wasn't that kind of work over? Wasn't that chapter finished? Once they became disciples, wasn't it going to be ever after about being disciples, about going with Jesus? But once Jesus was killed and then he came back, that was the end of the chapter on following him around the countryside. And so the question for the days that followed really had to be, what now? Or what next? When we turn this page to the post-resurrection chapter, what is next? Okay, so Jesus showed up again, but he knew and they knew it wasn't the same old story. It was going to have to be something new, something next. What do you do when the chapter you were living comes to an end And you know that what's next is something new, but you don't know exactly what to do with new. Especially a new chapter in the story of your faith and hope, a new chapter in your Jesus-following story. It's not entirely clear, is it? The following Jesus around the countryside chapter is over. What's the next chapter? What's the next part of the story? The answer's kind of unclear. And not only that, but think about what the disciples had been through, what they had just been through. And ask yourself, what do you do when things have changed so much your head's still spinning? What do you do when the universe has tilted one way and now it's tilting another way? What would you do when the person you were with all the time, following all the time, listening to all the time, is now only showing up every now and then? What would you do? Go fishing? I have to admit that wouldn't be my first thought. But then again, I'm not a fisherman, never have been a fisherman, except for that one ill-fated attempt I told you about in a sermon not all that long ago. But then again, maybe it's not the fact that the disciples go fishing that's so interesting. Maybe it's that they go back to what they have known and done before. They go back to the familiar, the prior, the thing that they had already left behind. And that makes me wonder, what do we do in the new day? What do we do in the brand new day? The after everything seems to have changed day. The no longer just followers, but now witnesses day. What do we do in the being faithful now looks different day? In the story, when Jesus shows up again and he calls to the disciples from the shore, he can see that they aren't catching any fish. So he tells them to try on the other side of the boat. Why the other side? Well, it's a way of getting them to recognize him, but maybe it's also that he knows the best thing he can do for them right then isn't to question their go fishing impulse, but to show them that even a step back in time, like getting into the old boat and casting the nets the same old way they always had, can be turned into a step forward. Try it my way, he says. I know you're back in the old boat, but try moving in the opposite direction. Try the other side. So they do what he says. They throw the nets on the other side, and suddenly there are more fish than they can imagine. And the other thing that happens, as I said, is that they recognize Jesus, the Jesus who tells them to try something new, which they were still apparently having trouble doing in those post-resurrection days. Peter jumps in the water and swims to shore. The others bring in the boat, the net full of fish. Breakfast is already cooking there on the shore. There's plenty of fish and bread to eat, another echo of their former lives, right? Even though this time there are no thousands to share it with. It's just them, and they have breakfast together. And then Jesus turns to Peter and asks him three times, "Do you love me?" It seems like it has to be an echo of the three times denial that Peter had offered before when Jesus was on his way to the cross. But this time, the triplet ripples in a different direction, the opposite direction. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Each time Peter answers, it's the same answer, but at the same time, each time he answers, something shifts a little more. Each answer is a little louder, I imagine. Each answer is a little stronger. By the third time, Peter is a little hurt that Jesus keeps asking, so maybe his third answer is a little sharper, too. Of course I love you. My love for you might not be equal to the kind of love you've shown to me. But Jesus, I do love you. And each time Peter answers, I love you, Jesus tells him, then feed my sheep. If you love me, then feed my sheep. That's the deal. That's the new reality. That's the post-resurrection work. So it's not just following Jesus around the countryside anymore. It's not just being followers. It's being examples, activists, initiators, witnesses, feed my sheep. And then, just when we think we see the new path, the new way, the next, the scripture passage ends with these words. After this, he, Jesus, said to him, Peter, follow me. And it seems like we're going in circles. Called from their fishing boats, then follow me, then back to fishing, then feed my sheep, then back to follow me. Maybe we are going in circles. Maybe life moves forward, and then it often or even always circles back before it moves forward again. Maybe faith needs time to check the foundations before it takes flight again. Maybe discipleship is the new thing and the old thing and then the new thing. Maybe Jesus keeps showing up again and again and trying to get the disciples to recognize him because that's the only way we seem to get nudged forward when we are still hunkered down in fear or adrift on the water. Maybe change doesn't happen without going around in circles. Fishing, following, feeding, fishing, feeding, following. I'm thinking a lot about transitions these days. In my household, we've got two graduations coming up in short order, one in less than a week and one at the end of the month. I recognize that I am more sensitized to the kind of change that something like a graduation represents because there's an actual date affixed to it and I can see it coming. But the truth is, even a change of the sort with a date attached to it doesn't happen on one date. Oh, the ceremony does, but everything that is attached to moving from one life stage to the next, all of the push and pull of changing relationships, all the trying to finish one set of tasks and setting the stage for another set of tasks, all that stuff is less like turning a single page from one chapter to the next and more like hurtling down the highway and hoping you recognize the right exit when you see it, and probably missing the exit, and then having to catch the next one and doubling back so that you can get off where you thought you were supposed to get off, only to discover that that wasn't the right exit either. And now you're backed up in traffic and you don't need to get in that traffic. And oh, of course, there's construction, so there's a detour. You get the idea. You're going forward and you're going in circles. Anyway, I'm thinking a lot about transitions, not just in terms of life events, but in terms of relationships, in terms of spiritual focus, in terms of calling, in terms of self-awareness, in terms of commitments or recommitments. I'm thinking a lot about the way our bodies are hurtling through time while our minds are busy with new ideas and old memories, while at the same time, our hearts are maybe just trying to keep up. Okay, so what does it mean to be disciples in transition? To be maybe fishermen or whatever it was before, then followers, then people who have the rug pulled out from under them, then people who have some hope and possibility restored, then people who know they better get to it with the feeding of others. How does that calling thing work when the pages keep turning and the chapters keep ending and the new ones keep beginning? We're celebrating an ordination today. It's interesting because in reality, nothing very dramatic or unexpected is really changing for Laura Stone in terms of her vocation or her calling or her tasks or even her identity. This isn't a surprise. This calling didn't sneak up on her. The process toward ordination has been moving along for quite a while now. It's not like tomorrow she's going to start a new or different ministry. She already has a vocation, a place of calling, a community for ministry. In some ways, nothing is changing. She's still a disciple. She's still a follower of Jesus. She still has a ministry to carry on. But at the same time, it is a change. this moment, this ritual, this recognition is a leap forward and a circling around. A moment when Jesus is showing up yet again. It's a marker of assurance and affirmation, a reminder for this community that we call people to ministry and we back up that calling with opportunity and gratitude and expressions of blessing. It's a circling around to baptism, hers and ours. It's a memory of all the new days that have come before, and it's a whole new day, and it's the anticipation of days we haven't yet imagined. A circling around and a leap forward. A continuation of the story and a new chapter. When we're chugging along in our discipleship tasks and with our discipleship demeanor, it can be hard to see just what is happening right in front of us. We expect the same story to keep going in the same direction. We're content to follow Jesus around the countryside. But then there come these moments when we've got to get out of the boat yet again, when we've got to come ashore and eat breakfast, recognizing the one who calls us and fortifying ourselves for the day ahead. Because there's more work to do. Love to express and sheep to feed. The resurrected Jesus shows up again and shows us the way. Amen.